The last time I did this, someone told me that was a very powerful message. And I don't remember who that person was, but that message was on heaven. This Sunday, I have had this on my mind probably as long as I've been thinking about having a time of singing some of these songs, and I'll be doing some sharing some scriptures and sharing some things about these songs, as not about the writer and things, but about the message in the songs as my voice holds out and I can do that. I have asked John to lead these songs. I have six, I believe it is, out of the Hymns of the Church. The Hymns of the Church has a very good section on the church, and this is the subject I want to look at this morning. So all of the songs we'll be singing will be from this book, and it'll be, I think, 334 is the first one, or maybe it was 331, and through the next several, 50, in the 50s. So there's about 20 songs here that have to do with the church. And the scriptures talk about the church very extensively. In fact, most of the New Testament was written to churches, not volume-wise, not word-wise, but most of the books of the New Testament were written to churches. And we're going to look at some of those messages this morning. But the first one I want to look at is Matthew 16, verses 13 to 20. This is Peter's confession of who Jesus is and his desire and what Jesus had to say to him. Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13 through verse 20. Then Jesus came unto the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he is what was the Jesus the Christ. The main thought we want out of this is that Jesus is building his church, and the gates of hell cannot and will not prevail against it. The question might be, why are there so many churches drifting away from the scriptures? Why are they rejecting the word of God if the gates of hell have not prevailed against it? The gates of hell will not prevail against the church that is rallying around Jesus. A little later we'll be looking at a song, I don't think it's this one, that talks about the banner of Christ. What is there in the United States that people rally around to that draws us into one group. What object is there?
A flag.
How many of you could repeat the Pledge of the Allegiance to the flag? How many? I couldn't anymore. All right, we got a couple. I couldn't repeat that anymore. Even though for 4 years, actually probably for 12 years, I said that every 5 days a week in school. That was a very, very important aspect of school life. And it has a reason. The flag represents the country that we're living in. And it's a pledging our allegiance to that country, not the piece of cloth. How many of you know how to fold the flag? I don't think I could do it anymore. But when I was in grade school, for 8 years, someone went out there and took the flag down in the evening and folded it properly. When my father passed away, he got a flag from the U.S. government because he served in World War I. And it was folded in a box just about this square. And there was the right amount of stars, there was the right amount of stripes that stuck out that you could see through the cover of that box. What is there that the church rallies around? Just keep listening for that answer. It'll come in one of these songs. I'm not sure which one. All right, the first song is number 337. And this was the first song that I thought about when I was thinking about this, is the church's one foundation. There's only one foundation that the church is built on. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. She is the new creation by water and the word. From heaven, He came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for his life, her life he died. Jesus is that foundation of the church. And one scripture, and I think we'll be reading that, is the cornerstone of the church. But that foundation is very, very important. Now, we have lived in a house two houses that had no foundation. As per se, what we think of as a foundation being a continuous foundation. It had blocks, rocks actually, under different areas in the house that held that house up. And the one was held up that way from probably... No, in the early 20s, when it was moved into the place where it was at. It is now the oldest house in the little town of Shedd, and it has been for many, many years, ever since it was put there, probably. It was moved there from another town that is no more. But those blocks were a solid foundation. The house we lived in Shedd, all the doors would swing one direction. They'd all either close or open. And so I decided, well, this thing needs to be jacked up. So I laid a level on the floor, perfectly level, after probably 75 years of sitting there with no foundation under it, except those piers. The other house we lived in was about 100 years old when we bought it, and it was built the same way. And as far as I know, the floor was level. The walls in both of those houses were not plumb. In fact, I put wainscoting on one upstairs, and it was about two and a half inches, I remember, off in 42 inches. That's a two-story house, so how far off was it? You can do the math. It was 18 feet tall to the eaves. And you can do the math how far that house was leaning. There was nothing I could do because someone built onto it in that leaning position. Now, relate that to the church. The church's foundation is Jesus Christ. It is solid and it will last. Even though that foundation, people would look at it and say, that's not a foundation. In fact, the man we bought the one place from, well, he had both of them. And he went around it and put blocks underneath it all the way around to make it look like there was a foundation under it so that the people who bought it could get financing, like us. When we bought the one, we could get financing because it had a foundation. It didn't do a thing for holding it up. It was a skirting. And so we can have a church. And Jesus Christ cannot be the foundation of it, but we can have a form and we can do things and be the what we want to be and be a obstacle or whatever and not have any power and not be rooted, founded in Christ Jesus. The church's one foundation is Jesus Christ. And if we're not founded in Jesus Christ, the only conclusion I have ever been able to come to is that we're not church. A church that forgets God or rejects God is not a church in this scriptural. So let's sing the number 336, verses 2, 3, and 4. 337. Third stanza in the last phrases there is, and the church, the great church victorious, shall be the church at rest. And that is resting in Christ. Christ Jesus. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1, we'll read from verses 2 to 6. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all blessing in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us under the adoption of the children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. Here the Apostle Paul was writing to the Ephesian church and admonishing them to walk with God, to live for God. He says he's been predestinated. It is our God's desire that you are walking with him, that you are a part of him and his church. And he is talking to the church who had love, who had life, who had vitality within them. And in Revelation, it says you've lost your first love. And they had fallen from that loftiest estate and was failed. And he said, I'm going to have to take your name out of the book of life unless you repent. Verse 5. It's a good pleasure of God's will to bless his church, and that it would be a blessing. Song number 356. For Christ and the church. This writer had a very, very good concern and burden for the church, with a love for Christ. The people of the church, and here's some phrases that we'll be singing here in a minute. The people of the church will be honoring Jesus' name. They will be working with his will. They will be loyal to him. They will pray earnestly, like we heard in devotion this morning. They will be following his banner, the flag, the cross of Jesus Christ. They will be faithful in his service. Let's sing number 356.
Serve him in life's brightest hour.
For Christ our dear Redeemer, for Christ who died to save, for the church's blood hath purchased, Lord, make us pure and brave. For Christ and the church willing all brings make time, talents and gold for the deep master's sake. We will render the best we can bring to him, a heart's wealth of love that will never grow dim. Ephesians 3, verses 14 to 21 says, For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened by the might of his Spirit, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that ye ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be the glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. For Christ and the church, let our voices ring. Let our earnest prayer. Let us follow the banner of the cross. Let us be willing to sacrifice of our own desires and our own needs and of our own things that we call our own for the Christ and the church. Let us cast aside, by the conquering grace, chains of self, fear, and pride. May our lives be enriched by an aim so grand, then happy the call of the Savior's right hand. We're looking for that day when we will come before him in love. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. And read verses 24 through 27. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, let also the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, and that he may present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That is the church that Jesus is looking for. That is the homes that Jesus is desiring. And that is what he wants us to have. Jesus loved the church. Jesus gave his life for that day. Let me start over. I jumped down a point. Jesus loved the church. He gave his life for the church. He sanctified and cleansed the church. And he wants a glorious, spotless church. That's what we see here. We're going to sing number 341. Jesus, from whom all blessings flow. The church would have no blessing. The church would not exist. The church would not have a message for the world if it weren't for Jesus and his love and his desire for it. Number 341, sing. Second Peter chapter 3, we'll read verses 10 through 18. Jesus will come again. What is he coming for? What's his desire? Will he be disappointed? Will he reject conservative Mennonites? Will those, like one man, one pastor of a church in Chihuahua, they were considering selling their church building, and so we were considering possibly buying it, even it didn't completely fill our needs. And we were there one day, and he said, "We've outgrown the church." And I don't know what I said, but we were talking there, and he said, "The church grows when it's right." I believe is the way he said it. Well, yes, the church grows when it's right, not always in number. But if we forget God and we just center on one little thing in the scriptures, will he forget us? Second Peter 3, verse 10. "For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you, if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and he be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for a well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ, who hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened in the spirit." Jesus has a great desire for his church, and he will come again. But we must be living with that in mind. We must be looking for that day. We must be found in him in peace. We must be studying the scriptures to know the things that are hard to understand. Oh, where are kings and empires now? Where are they? Those that were so powerful many years ago. Number 334. What did I say? 344. 344. Sorry.
Of the world, thy holy church. shall God. The earth shakes our threatening her, and tempest bow absorb. Unshaken as eternal is unmovable, she stands. A mountain that shall fill the earth, a house that made with hands.
Many of those great kingdoms from many years ago are not, you don't know anything about them. There may be a little history in the history books, but that's about all. But God's church will go on. It will prosper until Jesus comes again. Let's turn to Revelation 3, verses 9 through 13. This is the letter to the Church of Philadelphia. The letter that Jesus had didn't have any complaints about, anything that any warnings to. This is the kind of church that Jesus is coming back for, I believe. Revelation 3 and verse 7. And unto the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word and my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. And I will write upon him my new name. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. I believe that is the message that God has for us, that we would be faithful and that we would be longing to live for him. And our worship for him is perfect, pure, and holy through the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's sing number 351. Lo, what a pleasing sight. It's what Jesus is looking for. 351.
Performed
my one desire possess. One aim, the zeal of all your glories to make each other blessed. No bliss when they grow theirs, there's such affections meet. While days devout and mingled prayers make their communion sweet. 'Tis the same pleasure's thrills the breast, this world above, where joy the morning dew distills, and all the air is love.
It's a pleasing sight in the eyes of God when he looks at his church and finds us agreeing one with another, and most of all, agreeing with his word as we go through life. I trust that this has been an inspiration and will draw us closer to Christ as a body. As we're drawn closer to Christ, we'll be drawn closer to each other. There's no way to get around that.